Tuesday, November 19th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, the Christian Post recently did an interview with Keith Getty concerning the modern worship movement. He says it is utterly dangerous. Getty says an authentic generation doesn't begin with catharsis. It has to begin with an authentic picture of the God of the Bible. Over 75% of what are called the great hymns of the faith talk about eternity, heaven, hell, and the fact that we have peace with God, yet less than 5% of modern worship songs talk about eternity.
The occasion was they've come out with a new album in which they have gone back into these great classic Christian hymns and have it delivered with instrumentality, vocals, and thoughtfulness just to see how it encourages, how it instructs, how it inspires, and what it does into the life of a believer when you get lifted up in worship to the transcendence and majesty of God and then hear the gospel message that it is that God who has come into this world to save us from our sins, and it is that God who makes his residence within you by the Holy Spirit filling your life, and it is that God that has given you his inspired and inerrant word to guide you in life. And the basic building block for this is gathered worship. I have just delivered a sermon this past Lord's Day talking about why Christ came into this world to gather us, to lead us in worship, to speak to us in worship. It is amazing communication in the Word of God that we were made to worship God, not use worship, but be used up in worship so that we're filled up with the knowledge of God and who God is. Tom, I believe the thermostat of the Christian life, what controls you, is Lord's Day worship. It has to have gravitas, it has to have reverence, and it has to have joy. If you just aim at human manipulation for joy, then you get triviality and superficiality and manipulation, emotional manipulation. If you aim at reverence through manipulation, then what you get is morbidity. But when you come into the presence of God and you sense his presence, there is an overflowing joy in your life, yet you're in the presence of God and there's a reverence that is there. Inanimate objects tremble in his presence. Angels are equipped with two wings to cover their eyes, wings to cover their feet, and wings so that they are suspended and do not land in the presence of God. For holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. It is glorious, Tom, the majesty of God when we worship. And then comes the gospel news that God has come into this world to save you. It is that God who sent his Son, who was born and laid in that manger, who went to the cross to die for your sins, who rose again, who ascended, and who is coming again. There is the glorious message. And worship encapsulates it. But what have we done? We've decided worship is going to be our instrument for church growth. So now instead of the brightness of worship, we have dim-lit entertainment nightclub-like settings. Even some churches are using smoke machines for the environmental presentation. You have basically, instead of robust congregational singing, you have performance bands. And instead of the choral anthem uplifting the congregation into singing, we begin to have the performance mentality and what am I experiencing and the privatization of worship instead of the corporate worship that leads to personal worship, that leads to family worship, but it's worship that is majestic of a transcendent God. And that's what he's saying. He's saying the great confessions, the great hymns, the great sermons extol who God is, one God in three persons. What God does, he is our creator, he is our redeemer, he is our sustainer, he is our judge in holiness, and he is our savior who has met that judgment so that you can have everlasting life through the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Christ. And it is that God who sends his spirit in the midst of his gathered people, who inhabits the praises of his name. So I agree with Mr. and Mrs. Getty. We must say to the contemporary church, don't misuse worship. Worship is not a tool of evangelism. It is a verb describing what God's people do. Worship is for God. It's the one thing he says he seeks. He seeks true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the consequence is blessing upon the believer. Evangelism, edification, equipping are consequences of worship. But worship is the gathered assembly of God's people to exalt the praise of God with all of their heart, their mind, and their soul, to worship God in spirit. That is, from the soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And to bless the Lord with truth. God's word is telling you who God is, and you sing that word, you confess that word, you pray that word, you read that word, and you preach that word, all to the praise of God, from whom all blessings flow. The most scintillating, heart-stirring, soul-moment moment should be when you and your family gather with the family of God, because Christ has come among us to be with us, to save us, to gather us, and to lead us, and to speak to us. And that most scintillating moment is when from the Scripture comes the call, "Oh, come, let us worship the Lord our God."
Harry, let me read to you a quote from this interview with Keith Getty. He said, "I believe that the modern worship movement is a movement for cultural relevance. It is a de-Christianizing of God's people. It's utterly dangerous."
What he's saying is we now shape worship service by what we think the culture wants us to do so that they will attend. And that's not what we do. Do we speak in terms the culture can understand? Yes. But do we worship on the terms that the culture dictates? No. Our worship is dictated by the truth of God's word. Tom, in the Reformation, what the Reformers did, like Calvin, is they took the pot of worship that was clouded by superstition and ritual. They emptied the pot, and then they put back in what belongs there. What belongs in worship? The invocation. "Come, O Lord, be in the midst of your people." What belongs in worship? Not only the invocation, but intercession and prayer and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," making melody in your hearts to God. And then we're supposed to hear the word of the Lord. This is God speaking to us. We sing that word. We pray that word. We confess that word. We hear that word. We preach that word. Then the Word of God brings us to the God of the Word by the power of the Spirit of God, to the praise of the glorious grace of God. It's not about me. We don't walk away from a worship service asking the question, "How did the preacher do? How did the choir do?" We walk away from the worship service asking ourselves, "How did I do?" I was not a spectator. I was before God in the theater of worship. There was one spectator. It was the God of glory. Did I worship him in spirit and in truth?
Harry, on Wednesday's edition of Today in Perspective, I want to take you to a story from the Media Research Center. One so-called contemporary pop star has said she would refuse to do the halftime show at the Dallas Cowboys game, which promotes the Salvation Army and its annual Christmastime giving campaign.
What's interesting is why she has come out with this movement that she won't perform unless they give to an LGBTQ cause. And it's interesting why she's doing that. It's also interesting, what is the right answer to this demand from this pop star?
We'll deal with that on Wednesday's edition of Today in Perspective. As we close out for today, let me remind you, Harry has authored an insightful book that every church leader and leadership team needs to read. From Embers to a Flame, How God Can Revitalize Your Church. Jonathan Merritt writes, "Many of our nation's churches can no longer afford to maintain their structures, and 6,000 to 10,000 churches die each year in America. That number will likely grow. The people of God need a strategy for revitalization." Harry expounds biblical principles that even if applied to the unhealthiest church, the Lord can use to take that church from embers to a flame. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/embers to a flame. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.